Everyone turn to page 503. I love this song. It's the Lord's Prayer. 503. When Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus says, you know, He will forgive us as we forgive our debtors. So sometimes when we ask Jesus, oh, Jesus, help us, sometimes we have to look in our neighbor's yard and forgive our neighbor for not putting his trash out, or his trash blowing over in your yard, or maybe even something worse than that. Maybe they've done you wrong, you know, and that's between you and the Lord, and you have to truthfully forgive those if you expect forgiveness yourself. This song is called He'll Make You Whole. It's the tape right beside it. And side A, I think, is teed up. But the Creator of the world and all things can make us whole. And Jesus promised us in Revelation 21:5, I will make all things new. I've seen Him put back all the missing parts in many puzzles of broken hearts. He just loves to bind hurts and heal. He just loves to find lives to help you forgive your One day he healed a man with a crippled hand on a Sunday. If you're crippled, as though you've a withered hand, your doubts seem to paralyze your dreams and your plans. He says, stand forth, trust me this hour. Stretch forth your hand, he'll give you power. He'll make you whole. He'll touch your spirit, your body, and your soul. Forgive you and help you forgive yourself too. He'll make you whole. He'll make you new. And the people said,
Brother John Holmes, do you have a song? Come on up here, boy. Bless our hearts. He wasn't here last night for the musical. I've already fussed at him about it.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times there's trials and tribulations that come in my life. But you know, in spite of those things, God still blesses. Amen. He still pours out his blessings upon me, and that what brings me through. But you know what, my friend, beloved, listen to me this morning. Not the half has been told what God has in store for those who love him. Please. Mortal words can I express the kingdom that's to come. The mind of man cannot conceive the preparation that's been done. For we speak in terms that we understand to uncover the glory veil. But soon with eye we'll clearly see how much our words have failed. Not the hand has been told a small part, not the whole. It's beyond imagination was in store. Soon our eyes shall behold gates of pearl, trees of gold. Oh, but there's more. Not the hand has been told. Not a legend nor myth, oh,
can just wonder over soon.
Bible, that's Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. You're going to have to come to the service at 6 o'clock tonight to find out what those numbers mean. If you don't already, many of you would have known it if I'd have put 666 on there, wouldn't you? But 1260 and 1290 and 1335. Come tonight and find out what it's all about. You'll enjoy it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And hath made us, and God has, that's God that has done the making, God has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Jesus has. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us unto our Father kings and priests. Now, most of us, when we read that, we read that, and shall make us kings and priests. I read that the other day, and then I turned over there to the fifth chapter of Revelation, read verse 10. It says practically the same thing, doesn't it? Not shall make us priests and kings, but hath and hast. That means that we already are. Now, presently, at this present time, I've been reading in my Old Testament over in the book of Exodus concerning the priest who ministered unto God at the tabernacle. And then I jumped over into 1 Chronicles and started reading about the priest who ministered unto the Lord at the temple that Solomon built. Now, so many of us have looked at our priesthood and have mentally applied it to the future. We've applied it to the millennial kingdom, when Christ will come and set up his kingdom, and we've always thought of this, and we, in our resurrected, glorified bodies, we shall be kings and priests. But the Bible doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. Nowhere does it say that after the rapture and after the first resurrection and when Jesus comes back to this earth and we're with him in our resurrected, glorified, immortal bodies, that we will rule and reign with Christ as kings and priests for 1,000 years. Which indeed we shall. But we overlook the fact of the present application of these verses and the position that God has ordained us to fulfill in the here and now. I think we realize that we are just as, if we're saved now, we're just as saved as we will be 1,000 years from now. And between now and 1,000 years, there's going to be death and resurrection and glorification and a lot of other things take place. But we're just as much saved right now as we ever shall be. We're just as much a child of God right now as we ever shall be. And we are just as much a priest of God right now, this very moment, as we will ever be. We ought to realize that fact, start acting like it. Amen? We're priests now already. We ought to be busy about our priestly duties. Oh, I know. Baptists don't have priests. Catholics have priests. We haven't caught up with them yet. Well, it's perfectly true that we don't have priests. Why? Because we are priests. Amen. We don't have them. We are priests. We're a holy priesthood. But let's back up a little bit and consider who the priests were and what they were to do in serving God. We've got the bigger part of our Bible is called the Old Testament. And it's full of priestly duties and functions and things like that. And we read through there and we see them doing this and we see them doing that. And we don't say, hey, that was written to me. That was written to apply to me because I'm a priest too. We don't look at it that way. Now the Bible says that the Bible priests, you read about in the Old Testament, were Levites. From among the 12 tribes, God had selected the tribe of Levi to be his priestly tribe and serve him instead of the firstborn. Let me give you a scripture for it. Numbers chapter 3, verse 41. Listen to this. God says to Moses, "Thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. Instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel." Take the Levites instead of the firstborn. Now the firstborn were his already. And he's doing some trading here. He's trading his firstborn for the Levites. Well, you can imagine why, because he's kind of centering things, bringing it down. The firstborn, that would have been the firstborn of any and all of the 12 tribes, wouldn't it? They'd have been a mixture of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. He'd have had them scattered all through these 12. He said, "I'm going to trade the firstborn for the Levites." He said, "I've got 22,273 firstborn amongst all the tribes of Israel. They're mine. I'm going to exchange them for the Levites. There's 22,000 of them. So they're closer in number. There's 273 difference in them. That's the ones that were a month old and upward that he was counting." So God traded the firstborn for the Levites. You know, both Moses and Aaron were of the tribe of Levi, weren't they? And Moses had been selected by the Lord to lead the children of Israel. God called him when he was a shepherd for his father-in-law over in the wilderness of Sinai at the burning bush, sent him down to Egypt to bring them out. And then God ordained his older brother Aaron to be the first high priest of Israel. And all of the priests now were Levites, but not all the Levites were priests. Only the seed of Aaron, the high priest, only of Aaron's family, none of Moses' family, but only Aaron's family, those who were born into the family of Aaron the high priest, were priests of Israel. I want to make that point, drive it home. And the reason for it is, and before we get too deep into this, Jesus Christ, we studied this morning in our Sunday school lesson, Jesus Christ of the tribe of Judah, not Levi, is our high priest. We studied that in Hebrews in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Jesus is our high priest. And the book of Hebrews tells us that the tribe was changed from Levi to Judah. Since all of the seed, the descendants of a family of Aaron, were priests, and Jesus is our high priest, then all of the children of Jesus Christ, the seed of Christ, those who have been born again, who have become the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, we are like the sons of Aaron. We are priests. We are a holy priesthood. You see, that establishes our entitlement to that holy royal priesthood. So how do we become priests? we are born into the position. Born into it. Not elected, not chosen, but we are born into it. Both priests and Levites now shared the responsibility of serving the Lord in the tabernacle and in their temple, but their duties were somewhat different. I want you to read 1 Chronicles chapter 24 this afternoon before this message leaves your minds. You'll find there that the priests were divided into 24 groups. 24 separate divisions consisting of 6 priestly families. And each of these 6 priestly families served the Lord one day of the week in the tabernacle and in the temple later, except on the Sabbath. You had 6 families, 6 days, one a day. On the Sabbath day, all 6 of them served one after the other. And each member was responsible for maintaining the schedule of offerings that came. Now, let me refer you to the New Testament. Zacharias, his name was the father of a fellow known as John the Baptist. He is married to Elizabeth, remember? Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 12. Read them at your leisure. We find that Zacharias was a priest after the course of Abijah. Now we said there were 24 courses, 6 priestly families. That would be course number 8 when you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 10. We're talking about Zacharias now. What was he doing? When he's first mentioned in the Bible, he's executing the priest's office in the temple before God, according to the custom in the order of his course. His job was to burn incense before the Lord. And that's exactly what he was doing when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him, Zacharias, you're going to become a father for the first time. Your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive and bear a son. You call him John. Now, the priests in the Old Testament conducted the worship services in the temple and in the tabernacle. The Levites assisted them in the various duties around the tabernacle, such as its construction, its maintenance. That's set forth in Numbers chapters 3 and 4. Read about it. It's interesting. In the wilderness, every time that the camp of Israel moved from one place to another, it was the responsibility of the Levites to disassemble the tabernacle. They would take it apart piece by piece, and each group was assigned a particular board that they were to carry. They were to take it down, they were to carry it, to transport it, and when it was reassembled, they would put it together again. That was their job. Now the Levites were divided into 3 groups. Numbers chapter 26, verse 57. And it was according to their family. There was the family of Kohath, the family of Gershon, the family of Merari. And these 3 formed the choir. Remember? members of these Levites, they were the choir of Israel. They played the musical instruments, the organ, the harps, the pianos, if they had them in those days, whatever. And they would sing the psalms during the temple services. And they served as the temple guards. And they taught Bible lessons. And they were overseers of the six cities of refuge that were set apart. And a lot of other duties the Levites had. But the priests, those sons of Aaron, they were the mediators, the go-betweens, so to speak, of the people of Israel with God. They represented the people to God, and they represented God to the people. I want you to learn the duties of the priest, because that's what you and I are as children of Jesus Christ. They were responsible for blessing the people who brought their sacrifices and their offerings. They inspected and they approved all of the animal sacrifices and offerings that were made. When somebody brought a lamb or a sheep or a goat or a bullock or whatever it was, they were to go over that thing with a fine-tooth comb, so to speak. And if there was infirmity in that animal, it was rejected. They were the ones who took the sacrifices and offered those sacrifices to God. And they were the ones that burned them on the brazen altar before the Lord. Now let me say this about the sacrifices that the priest brought, that they offered. The people brought them, the priest offered them. That sacrificial system of the blood of bulls and goats, etc., was not a permanent institution in God's plan for humanity. They simply pictured or mirrored the perfect and ultimate sacrifice that would be made on the altar of Calvary when Jesus Christ, God's ultimate sacrifice, would be offered up as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that every priest stood daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But they pointed to Jesus, who came and offered that one sacrifice for sins and perfected forever them that are sanctified, and then he sat down on the right hand of God. The priests, before they began their ministering to God, purified themselves. How'd they do that? They washed their hands and their feet in the water that was in that brazen laver in the courtyard of the tabernacle before they went into the holy place to do their priestly duties. Just as God has provided us a laver that is called the Holy Bible, by which word we are cleansed before we enter the sanctuary of God to worship and to serve. Jesus says in John 15:3, you are clean. How? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Clean through the word. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that Christ loved the church. That's us. He gave himself for it. He sanctified and cleansed it. How? With the washing of water by the word. We are custodians. We're the priest. We are the custodians of that cleansing word. And it's incumbent upon us that we preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. There is power in the word of God to cleanse sinners from their sins and to save the souls of believing people with an everlasting salvation. Jesus Christ is the Word. John begins his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, after the priest has been cleansed by the Word, by the washing of water, he goes into his place of service. He goes into the holy place of the tabernacle. And there in that holy place was a golden table set up, much like our communion table. It had 12 loaves of bread on it. That bread was called the bread of the presence. That's the presence of God, by the way. And the priests were responsible for maintaining the bread on that table. They would eat that bread during the week and replace it with 12 fresh loaves every Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. We are priests of God. We are to eat our bread daily. Our bread, the Word of God. And we're to see that every Sunday there is a fresh supply of bread on the table. Amen. That's our responsibility of priests. Jesus is the bread of life. John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." He's the true bread of God that comes down from heaven, from the Father, and gives life to the world. In that holy place where the priests served the Lord, there was also a 7-branched candlestick or lampstand. And the priest who worked and served in that holy place did so by the light that came from that 7-branched lampstand. And they were responsible for keeping those lights burning. They kept the lamp wicks trimmed, and they made sure that the oil did not run out. Again, we read that Christ is the light of the world. John 8:12. We read that he is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And our job as priests is to see that the lights are always burning. Don't let the lights go out. Remember, Jesus taught that if you light a candle, don't put it under a bushel basket. Why? Well, in the first place, being under there, it can't get the oxygen, it'll smother it and the light will go out. And in the second place, if the light's under a bushel, it's not going to give light under the house. Nobody's going to profit by it. Jesus said that men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to be like Jesus said of John the Baptist. He said, he is a burning and shining light. Now the oil that keeps the light burning is the Holy Spirit. Remember the five foolish virgins? They ran out of oil. When the bridegroom came, they were not there. They were gone, looking for oil for their lamps. And when they got back, the bridegroom had already come, and they couldn't go to the wedding. Their lamps went out. But also in that holy place where the priest ministered, remember now that we are the priest, there was a golden altar that was called the altar of incense. God had said to them, he said, put that altar of incense before the mercy seat. I will meet you there. God is going to meet with his priest there at the altar of incense. Now, go back and read it. Perpetual incense was to be burned before the Lord on that golden altar. And they made regular offerings of incense. That incense was prepared by a special recipe. It was not to be copied or duplicated. Incense has different odors according to what you make it out of. And the particular odor that God's designated incense was to have was to him and to him only. He didn't want anybody else's noses smelling it except him and his priests that were serving him in there. If somebody offered a strange incense in there, they'd drop dead. Because that means that somebody, you see, incense, burning incense is a type of prayer. And that means that they were praying to Mohammed, or to Allah, or to Buddha, or to Confucius, or somebody else. And you don't go into the holy place of God's presence at that altar of incense and pray to another god. He said, ye shall have no other gods before me. That symbolizes the prayers of the saints. How many times in the Old Testament and the New are we admonished to pray without ceasing? That's what priests do. They pray. Every time that God's people meet, they're always praying. Always praying. God said in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. God's house, the place where the priests assemble and meet and serve and worship, is a house of prayer. Jesus called the temple at Jerusalem his Father's house of prayer in Matthew 21:13. We're to keep the incense burning in the house of God, prayer meetings in the temple of God, prayer meetings in the church. It's very important. So in the house of God, his place of prayer, where the priests meet, where they assemble together to worship and to serve Him. There's preaching, there's praying, and there's singing in the worship before the Lord. The priests and the Levites played a very prominent role in the worship sessions of God's people. And we are priests of God. Now, already, if we're saved, there may be somebody here today that's not a believer in Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, and you've never been born again. You can be, because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's easy to be saved. Salvation is available to whosoever will. And then when you get saved, you become a priest of God, because you're in the family of Jesus Christ. I hope I've enlightened you a little bit today. It opened your eyes to a divine truth that is hidden to so many people today. And may we become aware of the fact that we are God's priests, His representatives here on this earth. Let's stand together. I'll let you go. Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray today that if there's one here in this congregation that's unsaved, has never been born again, that today they'll do that. They'll accept Christ and make a public profession of their faith in Him, not be ashamed of Him. And Lord, today, speak to the hearts of Your people. Help us to realize that we are members of Your family, and we're brothers to Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Bible teaches us that. And as such, we are Your representatives here on this earth. We're priests. Help us to realize our responsibilities as priests, and to do that which is good and pleasing in Your sight. We'll give You the honor and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
280, and sing the second verse.
Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been
and the aged, and in hand.
lovely people for being here today. I'm so glad you came. I hope I gave you something today that will stay with you and stir your souls and encourage you to live for our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our service tonight. If you can't come tonight, pray for us as we meet together for our worship.